Guess what, fellas? The boys are buzzing because hockey is back. Want to know what else is buzzing? The Lawnmower 4.0 from our friends at Manscaped. They are the global leaders in male grooming, trusted by over 2 million men worldwide. Don't get chirped this year for having a disaster below the waist. Join the Manscaped movement for all your hairiest grooming needs. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code HAYES, that's HAYES, at manscaped.com. Use the promo code HAYES at manscaped.com and you'll save 20% off plus free shipping.
.com. I'm Julie Tesheri. Welcome back to Leafs Lunch. Got Al's brother with me on the phone. We have Jonas Siegel, Leafs reporter for The Athletic. If you haven't yet, go check out Jonas's Monday morning Leafs report in The Athletic. Did a great job. Jonas, how's it going?
It's going well. How are you guys?
Pretty good. It must be even better for you. You, I read through your Leafs report this morning. You decided that it was time, or you thought that it was time, to break up Matthews and Marner. Keefe, well, I'll assume he only listened to you,
Jonas,
right?
Jonas is
it was
all,
your idea.
Well, hold on. Jonas is all about breakups. Before we get into that, he's for
breakups. Oh, my God.
Breakups,
every time.
Right?
Like, yeah.
Jonas Siegel broke up his partnership with Mark Masters the most gutless way possible. Jonas, I don't...
You know what?
You would be the type to break up with someone over text, right?
Well, here's the thing. I don't think you've had a chance to come on the station to actually address this breakup, which has swept all of 1050 over the last little bit, and all of TSN, really. What do you make of all of that? What really went down? Is that how it happened? Did you just send a text, and your first response to your good friend CJ getting a job, you're like, good, now I have a decent trivia partner.
I'm just going to say a couple things. Number one, it did not go down exactly as CJ suggested, but more or less the story is true. And I'll bring it back to Julia's point about Matthews and Marner. Sometimes you just got to do what's best for the team. And sometimes, like, a little break, you know, when you're not getting results, like,
yeah,
you kind of have to look around. You have to say, like, what's best for the team? And Mark knows, like, he's a pal. I love him. He does an amazing job. But ultimately, we didn't beat a team of Hayes and O-Dog, and that's frankly not good enough. And so I look at Matthews and Marner, and to me it just makes sense to give this a break. It just feels a little stale, and it felt a little stale in the playoffs last year, and it kind of feels the same way. So maybe you take a little break, you get Nylander playing with Matthews, get Marner playing with Tavares, you ease a little bit of pressure on Marner, and see if you can get those guys going. Like, I don't think this will be permanent unless it really takes off. Like, I think we'll see these guys back together soon. But for the time being, I think it makes plenty of sense.
Well, when Marner's at his best, like, what's he doing out there?
He's got the puck on his tape all the time.
Yeah.
And he's dancing, and he's looking across. He's scoping out opportunities across the ice. He's skating. You know what the difference is? Like, how it looks to me and how it kind of looked at the end of last year is, in his first few years in the league, and even last year, he just looks free. Like, he looks like he's just having fun. Mm-hmm. He's not overthinking it. And right now, and even, like, I hate to keep referencing last year, like, there should be, like, a moratorium on that stuff at some point. But he just looks a little tight. And I think maybe changing things up will be the answer to changing that. I don't know. Like, yeah, you couldn't not do anything. I don't think that's the way things went the other night.
Jonas, the Leafs brought in Greg Harden this summer to be the Leafs' mental coach, and he's worked mm-hmm. with a bunch of star-studded guys. From what you just said, it sounds like you kind of have the same feeling that we do about Mitch Marner. This obviously isn't a talent issue. It feels more like a confidence issue or a mental issue. Do you have any insight as to how that relationship has been going between Harden and the Leafs so far?
I don't. I only know what has been talked about publicly and what's been written about. Josh Cloak for The Athletic wrote a really good story, I thought, about that.
Yeah.
I'm just always a little bit, and I told Josh this at the time, like, I'm a little skeptical of those things just because you take the person and you say, well, Greg Harden's worked with Tom Brady. Like, and that's the reason Tom Brady is Tom Brady. And I think there's a correlation thing that I sometimes am a little skeptical of, like, just because he's had success with Michael Phelps and
yeah.
Tom Brady, and those guys become champions, and so he'll just come here and these guys will become champions. Like, I don't think it's that simple. Like, they're all individuals. They're all different personalities. I think it makes sense to bring in someone like that to try to address what's going on. But I think it's a good reminder of how hard it can be to play here, especially when you're from here.
Yeah.
And when, like, you have, like, this pressure just from being here and knowing the history and everything like that. And I honestly, like, the contract still feels like a big part of the story. I don't know that that's totally fair. It's partly fair, but it just feels like it's all these things that have kind of snowballed for Mitch Marner, and he's still an exceptional player. He just hasn't looked like it yet, but that can change with one game. Like, he could have four assists tonight, and we'll look and we'll say, he's fine.
Totally. So how important is it to get a response from the big boys, the core four, especially in tonight's game against a pretty good Carolina team?
I mean, like, this is the part I'm struggling with, is like, how much do we react to what happened on Saturday? Like, how much of it is overreaction? How much of it is fair? Like, we're six games in the season. Like, is the sky falling already? Like, it feels a little, I don't know, like, jittery and understandable that the fans and media are kind of on edge. But, like, you can't win. They're not built to win if those guys aren't great. Like, that's the way they're structured. They're structured in a way that those four guys are eating so much of the cap that if they're not good, and if they're not great, like, this team isn't going to be very good. So you look right now, and Marner, Tavares, Matthews, I mean, collectively, what are those guys earning? Like, 30-some-odd million?
Yeah.
And they've got one goal and four assists through six games, and obviously Matthews only played half of those games, but, like, that's not going to be good enough. And I think that will change. Like, I don't expect this offensively to continue. They've had, like Sheldon Keefe was saying today, they've had plenty of chances. At some point, this will break through, and then they'll be fine. But right now, like, they haven't produced, and that's where they're at.
In conversation with Jonas Siegel of The Athletic, going into Carolina tonight, obviously they need to have a big response, but what do you think is going to be kind of the key to having that success tonight against a pretty talented Carolina group?
You know what I'd like to see? I'd like to see that power play be a lot better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because at certain points, and even that game on Saturday, I forget the days, like, they had opportunities for their power play to come through and change the game, and it didn't. And obviously that goes back, again, I hate to keep doing it, but it goes back to last year, where it's like really key points of that series against Montreal, where they have opportunities to change games, and their power play not only doesn't get chances, it's a complete momentum sapper. And I thought we saw last Monday night against New York, their power play actually looked pretty good, and you could kind of see what Spencer Carberry is trying to do with getting different threats and not just making it about Matthews. So I'd like to see that power play get on track and start to show some of the potential that we've seen from it in very small glimpses.
Well, Sheldon Keefe was I think it was on Friday night, he was really harping on that power play and how he said that they just weren't on the same page, they're fighting it, not executing. A lot of the same stuff we saw last season, end quote. And to me, like, I'm watching that power play, and I'm not so sure that Mitch Marner is a great fit in the bumper role. What have you made of that spot?
Nobody else has said that yet either.
Well, I'm just saying, like, what have you made of it? Like, do you think we've seen Sheldon Keefe now shake up the lines at 5-on-5, right? The top six now shaken up. Like, at what point do you make a switch here on the power play?
Okay, so two things. Number one, when you say, like, he doesn't fit in that position, okay, well, where would you like him to go?
Because are you asking me? If you're asking me, I've toyed with the thought of a 5-forward power play unit and have him be the quarterback. Like, he has the vision and the hands to be able to do that, I believe.
Come on, let's be realistic. They're not going to do that.
Yeah, but they should.
I don't know if they should. And so, like, let's say they keep it conventional. They've tried him on both those flank spots. Like, I think this new position makes sense. It's just new. Like, this is, he just started playing it this fall, and we're in, like, the middle of October, so he's had a month at it, like, and they've only had a few games where Matthews has been there. I would leave it. I think it makes sense. Like, we saw him on that flank for the entirety of his league career, and it worked at actually in the beginning of his career when they had a different kind of look on their power play. But to your second question, stay with it. This is what happened last year, is obviously they started really hot and then they cooled off, and then they just kept changing things all the time. Like, they've got to give this time, and they've got to give this new setup and these new positions a good chunk of time to get reps, to get comfortable. Like, we're talking about Marner, he's in a new position, he's trying to figure that out. Like, this can work, and I've always thought Marner can be like Nazem Kadri used to be in that role, where you don't necessarily need the best shot or the most powerful shot. You just need to pounce on opportunities. And Kadri scored a whole bunch of goals from there. I just think they need to be patient. I think what's gotten them in the past is they've just been too jittery and changed things too quickly.
We've got Jonas Siegel from The Athletic on Leafs Lunch right now. Jonas, you wrote about the importance of the Leafs scoring first tonight. They've given up the first goal in five of their six games. They've lost four of them, obviously. How important is it for this team to come out and score the first one and come out just at least looking really good in front of a really hot PNC Arena? You know, it's going to be rocking in there tonight.
Yeah, it's just hard to play from behind all the time, right? Like, you can't do it. And when you're always chasing the game, you're always chasing the game. And so we've seen that in just about every game where they get scored on first and some of the goals haven't been great. Like, you think of some of the San Jose game. And obviously, it wasn't the first goal, but the second goal in Pittsburgh wasn't great, needs to be stopped. It's just, especially at a point like this where it feels a little crisis-y. And again, like, it's so early in the year, but that's how it feels. You get scored on first, and it's just like, oh, here we go again. And like you mentioned, Julia, like, that crowd is legit. Like,
yeah.
You can feel it in there. Some buildings aren't like that. Carolina is, like, legitimately, there's an atmosphere. So obviously for them, like, at some point, like, if I was a better, and I was, brother, you like to gamble. Like, if I was betting, I would bet Austin Matthews to score tonight. Like, it just feels like that's going to happen at some point, and why not bet it tonight?
On his buddy Freddie, too. It feels poetic to me.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
So I think at some point, like, this is going to break. Like, Sheldon Keefe was talking about it today. Like, some of the underlying numbers for them are just, like, off the charts. Like, they've had tons of chances and just not converted. And with players like this, eventually those will go in.
Well, I was having a conversation with Noodles today, and he thinks that the Leafs have the upper hand going up against Freddie Anderson. Like, they kind of have the book on him. So you would think that should result in kind of the goal eruption coming into tonight, wouldn't you?
Well, and you would think, like, that there's an extra bit of, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but maybe nerves for Frederick Anderson going against his old team. And obviously he started so well in Carolina. Maybe, I don't know. Like, who knows how he'll perform. It's interesting that that's the way he's kind of started there. It's good for him, obviously, given last year. Is he going to have a .944 save percentage the whole year? Probably not. So we'll see.
In conversation with Jonas Siegel of The Athletic. Jonas, I got to ask you a question about Jake Muzzin, because he has not played particularly well to start the year. Very uncharacteristic, misplays, giving the puck away, goals, you know, legitimately coming off his stick. Is he playing hurt? Like, what's your vantage point of what's hindered Muzzin so far early this season?
I have no information, nor from the team, that suggests he's playing hurt. So, like, I'm assuming he's healthy. He's just not at a great start. And he's looked like when they signed that extension, I think it was February 2020, it was 4 years. You looked at it and you said, like, in the last couple years, he's going to be in his, like, he'll be 33, 34. And you think, like, given the nature of his game, like, what's that going to look like? And so your fear right now is, like, is that happening now in year two of the contract? And obviously it's so early in the year. Like, you don't want to overblow these things. He's just looked a little like that. Like, he's just looked a little creaky and a little slow to make decisions and a little just not himself. And that's a really difficult position for the Leafs, because he plays such an important role, obviously, on that pair with Justin Hall. And you start to think, well, if this doesn't work, like, what do they do? Because they don't really have the pieces. If that pairing can't handle top lines, they don't really have another option short of, like, completely blowing up their defense and trying something entirely different. So they just need him to get on track. And I anticipate that happens at some point, just because the past couple of years, he and Hall have had such a great track record playing difficult minutes. So you would assume at some point that happens. But it's just kind of it's a tough spot for the coaching staff, because Muzzin in some ways allows Justin Hall to play in that spot. Like, he props them up. That's why you pay Jake Muzzin five and change, is to make someone better. And if he can't make someone better at that point, then you have some really difficult questions about your defense. And again, like, we're not even done with October. I'm expecting Jake Muzzin to be fine. But the start has obviously been concerning.
Yeah, on the ice for 9 goals against, I think, just 2-4. So that's not ideal. It's at 5-on-5. So,
well, and like you mentioned, like, half of those, maybe not half of those, but 4 or 5 of them are just, like, really weird goals.
Yeah. Well, hockey is such a random sport, but
Right, but like there's other stuff that just doesn't look very Jake Muzzin-y, and that's what's kind of eye-catching.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, just for example, I mean, I went and I took a look and I broke down kind of the goals that were scored in that Pittsburgh game. Muzzin, giveaway in the offensive zone. Matheson blows past him and takes it to the net for a wraparound. Not a great goal, but again, that's kind of, you know, Jake Muzzin can't allow that to happen. The 5-1 goal, Muzzin whiffs at the puck in the neutral zone and then isn't able to connect on that hit along the boards. A 3-2 ensues. Rodriguez gets an open look off the slot, off the rush, and it's 5-1. So it's just, like, just uncharacteristic plays by Jake Muzzin has kind of really been plaguing the scene. Turnovers in general, not even just Muzzin, but turnovers in general really plaguing this team. And they're just not, like, the transition game has been...
Their details just seem to be off. Yeah, the details, completing tape-to-tape passes is such a fundamental thing, but just seems to be off for the Leafies right now.
Well, and the other thing is, like, the Brody-Riley pair has not been great either. Yeah. So now, it's like, everything feels a little dicey. I can say they obviously have to keep that things the same and kind of let them play out a little bit. I'm not super concerned at this point, but if 3 weeks from now we're still talking about this, then I think if you're management, you start to get a little antsy and you start to say, like, how do we fix this? What do we do? And that creates some bigger questions.
All right, Jonas, really appreciate taking the time for us, and we'll have to do this again soon.
Thank you, guys.
All right.